Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open your Bibles up to Psalm 34. There are some verses that I've been looking at recently that really encouraged me, and I thought it'd be a good time to talk about those as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. I feel like that the Lord's Supper is a time for us really to focus in on what Jesus has done for us. It's a time to remember what Christ has done. And so really, the priority tonight is that we all remember and think about what Christ has done. And then in just a moment, as our men come in a minute and they'll pass out the bread and they'll pass out the cup, we will have that opportunity to focus upon what Christ has done in his sacrifice. Psalm 34:19, the 34th Psalm, I don't know what your heading says on your Bible, but mine says a Psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. David was a wanted man. David had Saul after him. Everybody was after David. And at one point he was apprehended and he played the madman. He acted like he was crazy, and they finally said, "Turn this guy loose. He's in trouble, and we don't want him in our country. We don't want him in our city." And so they turned him loose. But David wrote this psalm to talk about how the Lord had protected him. And really, in a lot of ways, the verses I'm going to read remind me of what Christ has done in our lives. So this is Psalm 34:19 through 22. Just these few verses. It says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned." Tomorrow morning, as school gets started, Kelly and I are hosting along with our youth workers. They're in the saddle with us. We just happen to be having it at the house, a breakfast for all of our middle school and high school students. And one of the things that whenever you work with teenagers, you're trying to convince them it's worth it. Listen, it's worth it to live your life for Christ. They have their whole lives ahead of them. And the world looks very appealing. They want to reach out and take this. They want to reach out and try that. They want to reach out and experience that. And part of the Christian life is realizing we have the whole picture. We know who wins in the end. Amen? Are y'all there? Okay. We know who wins in the end. And that's part of what the challenge is with all of us, really, that follow Christ, is to hang in there with the gospel of Jesus, put our faith and trust in him, and it'll be worth it. Well, David is encouraging us. Now, just quickly, just four things here that I just picked out of this that I think will help us. The first one is this: afflictions come. What's that you said? You said that if you give your life to Christ, you'll never have a problem. I'm sorry, gentlemen, ladies, that's just not true. Afflictions come, and he says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." The phrase "the righteous" could be a righteous man. Many are the afflictions of a righteous man. As many troubles as they experience, they need not be afraid, because they are not alone. The Lord will deliver his own. Now, it does not mean, you know, most of the time when I'm frustrated with the Lord, it's not that I don't know he's going to deliver me ultimately, but it's the timing of it that I'm not happy about. It's the timing. So much of the Christian life is about timing. What does the scripture say in Isaiah? They that what upon the Lord? Wait. I don't like waiting. Do you like waiting? Man, if I can put something in a microwave and get it ready, that's where I want to go. I don't want to have to wait. Well, a lot of the Christian life is waiting. But the truth is, afflictions come. And the word afflictions there means really the result of a fallen world. Folks, do you know that sin not only in our lives, but listen, sin just that has happened in the world has caused a fallen world. What the book of Romans puts it this way, it says that mankind has exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so as a result of that, we live in a fallen world. And so sometimes the afflictions that we experience is just a result of a fallen world. They came to Jesus at one time and they said, here's someone sick, someone who has an affliction. Was it their sin or the sin of the Father? And Jesus made it crystal clear. There are some times when our afflictions are the result of our own sin, but there are many, many times when the affliction is the result of a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. And guess what? Even the righteous suffer affliction. But here's the encouragement. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Can I tell you this? As if you are a believer in Jesus, here's the encouragement. I don't know when it's going to happen, but you will be delivered out of them all. It doesn't matter if it is a disease. It doesn't matter if it is some heartache. It doesn't matter financial difficulty. Whatever has come your way and afflicted you, the words of others, the hurt of others, whatever it may be, the afflictions of those that follow the Lord will deliver them out of them all. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorites, he wrote this about this passage. He says, David had come off with kicks and cuffs. That was his way of saying he got nicked around, banged around a little bit. David has come off with kicks and cuffs, but no broken bones. No substantial injury occurs to the saints. Their real self is safe, Spurgeon says. They may have flesh wounds, but no part of the essential fabric of their beings shall be broken. I love that. That encourages me. Hey, we're going to get banged around. The scripture says that inwardly we're being renewed, outwardly we're wasting away. This old body, I can't do what I used to do, man. I'd be wanting to clear this out and play 21 with a bunch of these college guys tonight if it was about 20 years ago. Now I want to go home and go to bed. Because outwardly I'm wasting away, but I'm going to fight it. I'm going to fight it, and I'm going to keep going, right? But the point is this. The point is that ultimately we receive that deliverance. The second thing is God oversees our lives. You can have the assurance that God Almighty is overseeing your life. In verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. You know the scripture in Matthew that says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than the sparrows. This is the concept. Yes, we have afflictions. Yes, we have difficulties. But ladies and gentlemen, our God is overseeing our life. Somebody said this, history is really his story. Now, we're in the middle of it. We look around and wonder, Lord, where are you? But in the big scheme of it all, God knows right where you are. He knows right where I am. As a matter of fact, the longer I live, the more I can look back and see that. You've heard hindsight's 20/20. You walk with Jesus for decades, and one day you'll look back and you'll say, God was in charge of my life in those days. Now, when you were in it, you may have thought, man, I'm in a mess. And you have struggles and difficulties right now. But the truth of the matter is, one day you'll look back and you'll see the hand of God in it. God oversees the life of the righteous. Third thing, the wicked will perish. Sometimes as believers in Christ, of course we don't wish the wicked to perish. Although I will say this, David, he prayed often, Lord, get them. Now that's my way of saying it. That's my little translation. But he'd say, Lord, would you take them out? Lord, would you get them? And he prayed for the wicked, his enemies, to be defeated. That's not really our heart. In our context, we're praying that God would save them, God's mercy would come upon them. But make no mistake about it, when we're tempted to think, oh yes, the wicked, those that reject Jesus, those that hate Christ, and there's more and more persecution happening right now of believers in this country than probably ever before. It's increasing and it's increasing and it's increasing. And in other countries, it's literally off the charts. By the way, somebody said something to me that shocked me one time. They said there have been more people die a martyr's death for Christ since the year 1900. Of course, now that's over 100 years now, to all the way to 2015. But since the year 1900, then all the other decades, all the other centuries, from the beginning of the church to 1900, more people martyred for the cause of Christ. And sometimes we look around and we're tempted to think, Lord, where are you? It looks like the unrighteous is winning. The evil in the world is winning. Well, take heart with this scripture in verse 21. Evil shall slay the wicked. Do you know that the wicked themselves will set traps for the wicked? It reminds me of this verse, which I found, Psalm 7:15. I love this verse. It says, He made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch which He made. The evil in this world, they think they are living life without Christ, living life without the benefit of God's word and humbly before Almighty God, but they are digging a ditch. They're gonna lay down in a grave. They're digging their own ditch. So that scripture says evil will overcome the wicked in the passage. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. Evil will overcome the wicked. They will perish. The godly, in contrast, find the Lord to be faithful in their lives. That very last phrase, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. It means, I have a little note in mind that draws my attention to it. It means that they shall be desolate, or they shall be held guilty. Those that condemn the righteous, those that are evil, they will ultimately be held guilty before God. But then the fourth thing here in the very last verse, the Lord redeems the soul of His servants. Here's the truth that I want us to focus on. And the reason we can focus on it is because of the cross, because of what Jesus did. And the reason we remember in the Lord's Supper tonight is because of this truth right here. And here's the fourth one. Believers escape condemnation. We are redeemed. Look at verse 22. This is Psalm 34:22, the Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. Those who trust in Him will not perish. I don't know all the ins and outs of this, but they say that a pit bull, I had a guy in Georgia one time wanted to show me how this man would come to his farm like in the middle of the night. And the guy was like so excited to do this. And he would go hog hunting. Some of y'all, your eyes perked up, man. You've done that before. But he would take them alive. And these dogs would clamp down on the ears of those hogs and they'd pin them down to the ground. They'd hold them down onto the ground. And they'd get them and then they'd drag them into a cage. And this man would be up at his cabin, and the guy'd come by. Boy, he'd be muddy, he'd be mess, he'd be filthy. He'd knock on the door. He said, "You want to see him?" And the guy'd go outside, in his slippers or whatever. And he'd go out there, and man, they'd have him caged up, and they'd take him to some other place where people could hunt him, But they use those pit bulls. What I'm told, I don't know if I'm totally accurate on this, a lot of dogs will bite you, and then they just let go. They bite you, they let go. But a pit bull bites you and holds on. He just clamps down, something about his jaws. And I tell teenagers, you hold on to Jesus Christ like a pit bull. Don't ever let go of Jesus. Because one day, you'll be on the other side, and you'll be thinking, man, I'm so glad that I gave my life to Christ, and the Word of God was true. It was right. It was worth it. Yes, it was difficult. Yes, there were afflictions, but it was worth it to hold on. You hold on to Jesus Christ, and you will escape condemnation. Those who trust in Him will not perish. It's like that idea of waiting. That original word there in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord, is the word for weaving a fabric. Hey, you know, seat belts are not made of just some molded material. What are they? They are gazillions, it seems like, of little teeny fibers, and they are woven together very tight. And I'm telling you, you hit something head on, and that seat belt, I don't know that I've ever known of a seat belt breaking, the actual belt itself. Maybe the harness where it comes, where it's supposed to be tied in or something like that. But the belt itself can hold all kinds of pressure and all kinds of weight and torque and G-forces when it hits that thing. Why? Because it's a woven thing. Well, here's what that means to wait upon the Lord. You take your life, and you take this little strand of your life, and here's another, and you say, Lord, I want to wait on you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your word, and I'm going to weave my life, my strands of my life in there like that. And you'll be like a seatbelt. You'll hold on to the Lord, and He'll never let go of you. And you realize at the end that you'll escape condemnation. It says there in the passage, the Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. To be redeemed means to be bought back, and we celebrate that tonight in the Lord's Supper. It's the same word that was used in Deuteronomy chapter 7, speaking about Israel being delivered or redeemed out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 7 verse 8 says, but because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So that's the idea of being redeemed. You have, or had, let me say it this way, you had a writing of guilt, a certificate of guilt against you. But we celebrate tonight in this Lord's Supper. I want you to remember that because of what Jesus has done for you, you don't have that anymore. Here's the way Colossians says it. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, or the certificate of guilt. Another translation says it that way. This is what Jesus did for you when He died on the cross and rose from the grave. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. It's like sometimes you go to a camp, or you've seen where this is done, where somebody writes down their sins, and they take a nail and they go up to a cross and they nail it to a cross. In a lot of ways, that's a scriptural concept, because it says He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Your certificate of indebtedness, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, it only is for those that have put their faith and trust in Christ, who have repented of their sins and trusted Jesus to be their Savior. Then I can tell you this with full assurance, that in the end, you will not be condemned, because what Christ has done, He has taken your guilty papers and my guilty papers, and He has removed them out of the way and nailed them to the cross. And then it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, every demon of hell that would whisper in your ear, you're still guilty, you're still guilty, you're still guilty, He has disarmed them, and he has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So I want to end by just reminding you of Spurgeon's quote, because I love this summation. Spurgeon writes, David had come off with kicks and cuffs, but no broken bones. No substantial injury occurs to the saints. Their real self, the real you, your soul that lives forever. This old body doesn't live forever. But your soul, the real you, is safe, he says. They may have flesh wounds, but no part of the essential fabric of their being shall be broken. I love that. I tried to read that quote to you and give you the full thing, but I added so much I messed up the quote. And anyway, let me read it again. David has come off with kicks and cuffs, but no broken bones. No substantial injury occurs to the saints. Their real self is safe. They may have flesh wounds, but no part of the essential fabric of their being shall be broken. When you leave this service, you can walk out of here with a skip in your walk. Not because of what you've done, because for some reason, the God creator of this universe has taken your guilty papers and nailed them to the cross. And tonight, we are to be reminded in this supper of what Jesus means to us and what he has done to make that possible. I don't understand it, but I'm so glad he did it. Amen, church.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.